Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Transformation, Breaking Out of the Mold. I was reading one of the magazines from one of the ministries we partner with, and he said this. He said, growth is about change. So, I mean, it literally lines right up with what we've been talking about. He says, growth is about change, and change is not comfortable. When a baby begins to walk, he is uncomfortable. When a teenage boy begins to grow into a man, he's often uncomfortable. When a woman has a baby, she is extremely uncomfortable. Birds leave the nest. Trees let their leaves fall. Crabs outgrow their shell and shed it in order to grow a bigger one. None of these natural changes are comfortable. Yet, each is necessary for growth. One thing that you must become completely aware of is this: growth requires change. And change creates discomfort. This is not a bad thing, it's a growth thing. Let's say that together. It's a growth thing. It's a growth thing. Hallelujah. You see, God created us to grow, and He loves to see us grow. We are created to have adventures in faith and never be stagnant. Growth is not always comfortable. Growth will force you, like a crab, to shed your shell of comfort. Sometimes you have to make room for yourself and for even more future prosperity in every area. That need for change may be disheartening. Change is uncomfortable. But when the growth point comes, you need to see that discomfort is necessary. What you leave behind is supposed to be left behind. That's just part of growing. Birds leave the nest. Crabs outgrow their shells. Boys become men. Is it wrong for a bird to fly and create a new place for himself? No. Is there something wrong with a crab leaving its shell behind to grow a new one? No. Is there some fault with a boy growing into a man? No. This is the way God intended it to be. This is growth. It's not comfortable, but it's always necessary. You see, nothing is static in life. And nothing ever stays the same. The sooner you grasp that, the happier you will be with each wonderful moment you have here on earth. Even the uncomfortable ones that signal to you, hey, it's growth time. Get ready for a bigger shell. Get ready to fly. Get ready for the blessings that come next. Amen? So we've been talking about transformation, breaking out of the mold, and we've been talking about the butterfly. And we've been talking about the butterfly didn't start as a butterfly. The butterfly starts as a caterpillar. And then the caterpillar builds a cocoon and then outgrows the cocoon and out pops this beautiful butterfly. They can do stuff that the caterpillar never could. And so it's very exciting. And that is called transformation. Transformation. And so if we want to experience transformation in our lives, and we do, because we all want things to be better. We all want to enjoy what God has for us. And in order for us, God is a God of increase. He always wants more for us, better and better. Jesus said this, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, the more abundantly does not have a limit on it. Because last year's more abundantly, it was more than 5 years ago's more abundantly. And it was more than 10 years more abundantly. But today's more abundantly is still not as abundant as next year's. Amen? It's always in growth. God wants us to have and enjoy this more abundant, this excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality life and living. So we're always going to be in transformation. Change. Change. Transformation is what? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. In the easy to read, or ERV, we'll start with ERV. It says, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. The easy to read says this, do not become like the people who belong to this world, like quit acting like them, but let God completely change the way you think so that you can live differently. Live differently. Live differently than the world. Live better. It's called the abundant life. It's called the high life. Amen? We can live differently. And when we live differently, people see different. They see something. If we live like everyone else, we're called normal, average, and ordinary, and we don't stand out. We don't get people's attention. But when we live differently, we get people's attention. And when we get people's attention and they say, how did that happen or why is this? We can say, we serve a living God. We can give Him glory. Amen? We stand out because He is God. He is great. He is good. He wants us to live differently. And it comes by this. Let God completely change the way you think so you can live differently. Then you will understand what God wants you to do. You will know what is good, and you will know what pleases Him, and you will know what is completely right. The Philip says this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice, demonstrate, prove in practice what the plan of God is, what the plan of God for you is good, that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Hallelujah. And then we've gone through, it's been a number of weeks. And so last week, I think we talked about our path to victory. And we talked about the importance. Jesus preached a message. People think Jesus preached acceptance. Jesus preached love. He just accepted. That's not what He preached. The Bible says He preached repentance and believed the gospel. He went about preaching the kingdom of God. And what was that? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent is not a nasty word. Repent is not a big stick that we beat people up with. Repent means this. Repent, to think differently, to reconsider and change a change of thinking. So we choose to change what we think and believe the word of God. We believe the word of the kingdom of God and how He does things. That's all repent means. That's what renewing our mind is. Renew your mind with the Word of God so that we can be transformed. Transformation is a result of renewing our mind with the Word of God. That's also called repentance. It's just very simple, very straightforward. It's not a big stick. It's just, listen, change the way we think so we can change the way we feel, so we can change the way we act, so we can change our results. It's called transformation. The result is transformation, getting different results. Kingdom results, the results that God wants for us. And so our change of thinking and acting will show in our results of transformation. So this change of thinking on the inside produces a result on the outside. People see the outside result, but they don't understand it first begins on the inside with the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. So we change the way we think. Transformation is the result of our response to God's love for us. God's upward call and invitation will be uncomfortable because it's leading us out of our comfort zone. It's going to be uncomfortable. And I don't know about you, but even in the midst of this series, I'm learning so much and we are finding ourselves, we're changing, renewing our minds, and it's uncomfortable. But I like what John Maxwell says we need to learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. We just need to understand, this is just the way it is. If we want to continue to grow and we want to continue to walk with God, we're going to have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable because He's not going to allow us to stay in our comfort zone. He's always going to, what the Bible calls, there is an upward call of God, an invitation, and it's going to lead us to be uncomfortable because it's leading us out of our comfort zones. Talked about there is no shame. Shame is the lack of confidence and security, and it keeps us withdrawn. Shame will not allow us to see who we really are in Christ, but keeps focusing on the negative past. So freedom from condemnation is a result of our choosing to repent and renew our minds with the Word of God. Transformation is liberating and exhilarating. It's exciting. Oh, and then last week I talked about aiming our thinking, right? We have the right and the opportunity. Matter of fact, it's our responsibility to aim our thinking. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So we have the right and the responsibility to aim our thinking. whose mind is stayed on you. We can aim our thinking. We choose our thoughts with the phrase, I will, right? I will rejoice, I will believe, I will trust, I will fear not. I will hold fast, I will give, I will love, I will forgive. We can aim our thinking by thinking the word, speaking the word, singing the word. Our choosing to believe and act on the word allows God to increase us in that area. The process where transformation happens. This is the process where transformation happens. And we found out when we looked through this process in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul laid it out very clearly. He said, I haven't arrived, but this is what I do. I forget the things that are behind. I don't let them hold me back, positive or negative. I don't let them hold me back. I reach or stretch forward for more. I desire change to access more. I become comfortable with being uncomfortable. He said, I press or I pursue by following the goal or the marker or the signpost for the prize of the upward call of God or the invitation of God. He said, listen, I get up and I take action. I break through the barriers to enjoy the upward call and invitation of God. I understand the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan Sea. What was the difference? Well, one was deliverance from conflict, right, out of Egypt. The other one is opportunity. The Jordan River, going through the Jordan River, breaking through the Jordan River is for the purpose of opportunity. But that opportunity opened the door to conflict, right? They had to cross over in flood stage. They ran smack dab into Jericho, and then they had to possess and take the land. But the land was full of the enemy. So they had to take what was theirs. There is a difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan River. One is deliverance from conflict, and the other is opportunity. But it's going to require conflict in order to enjoy the victory. Victory does not come by accident. Victory is not free. Victory is given to us, but it's going to require a fight, right? That's the only way victory comes. Victory is not something that you earn. Victory is something that you win, right? So we're stuck right now in the middle of the Stanley Cup, and they're down. They were down 3, and now they're tied 3-3. That was a fight. Whoever wins this last one wins the Stanley Cup. So it's really, winning is not by accident. It doesn't just happen. You have to fight it. You have to take for it. You have to go for it. Winning, victory, it automatically involves conflict. Deliverance, and then there's preparation and growth. Destiny, there's this process. So today I want to talk about this. What do you want? What do you want? 3 John 2. 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Now this is the elder John speaking. John walked with Jesus, worked with Jesus. He's the only apostle that wasn't killed. They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. And so they just got fed up of him not dying, that they just they put him on an island. They just threw him on an island. And Jesus appeared to him and he wrote the book of Revelation. So, you know, but this is what he says. The elder, 3 John 2. The elder, he's been around a while. He learned a lot from Jesus, and then he walked with Jesus. And he walked with him as he walked with the Spirit of God longer than he walked with Jesus personally, functioning and operating with God. And now he's an elder, and he says this, verse 2, beloved, family, listen to this. I pray, I desire, I wish, I think is what King James says, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I wish, I pray, I desire above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, it's interesting But what we get is not what others want for us, but what we want and go after ourselves. This is His desire. This is His want. So we understand this is God's will and plan for us. The Spirit of God inspired Him to write this. This is God's will and desire for us as well. But this doesn't just happen because someone else wishes and desires it. God wishes above all that people will be saved, that all will be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But you know what? There's a bunch of people in hell right now. Because we all have a choice. We don't get what others want for us. We get what we want and go after. Sometimes the going after is the hardest part. Right? That's the hardest part. We just wish things were automatic. But it's the going after. Because sometimes we're going after something that we don't know how to get. We know it's available. We know it's ours, but that we just don't have, you know, like, why didn't we get it 5 years ago? We didn't know. You know, and sometimes we don't even know it's available. Then when we know it's available, we don't know how to get it. And so there's this effort. There's this hard part. There's this struggle. We got to go after it. First of all, we need to know that we want it, and then we need to go after it. So this can be the stumbling block because of the limiting beliefs that begin to scream at us and the fear that torments us. John chapter 5, verse 6. John chapter 5, verse 6. Starting in verse 1. Actually, let's start in verse 1. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem is a sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. So there's these five porches, there's these five balconies, and they are full. In these lay a great multitude. Great. Greek word mega. There's a mega multitude there. A great multitude. A mega multitude of sick people. Excuse me. Blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. Well, why? Because an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Interesting. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. 3 years is a long time. 8 years is a long time, but 38 years. That's a long time. And when Jesus saw him, so apparently Jesus walked into this place, walked through these porches among all these sick people, and when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew. By the Spirit of God, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. How long? At least 38 years. You know, he may have had it before he even went there. But he's been there 38 years. And what did he say to him? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be made well? Interesting question. But notice, nothing happened. It's been 38 years. Jesus comes to him and says, do you want to be well? Notice his answer. The sick man answered him, saying, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. So the answer is yes, but. Yes, but. And then up comes the excuse. Yes, but. And we as Christians, I think, are pretty good at this. Yes, but. Yes, but. And then we just basically share our limiting belief. Yes, but. Hmm. So we don't need to have a show of hands. But this is just how we are. And so we need to be aware of this. He said, yes, but. And then Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. In other words, that's why I'm here. You need a man, I'm your man. You need a man, I'm your man. If we need a man, he's our man. Right? He's our source. He's our answer. It's everything we need. Transformation is because we choose him. We choose to change the way we think. Jesus' instruction was to change the way he thought. You don't need to wait for the waters. You've been here for 38 years. I'm here. I'm your man. So now rise, take up your bed, and walk. He had to renew his mind. He had to literally, in that moment, change the way he thought. And then take action. And he decided to. Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and the day was the Sabbath. But you notice nothing happened until after Jesus said, ask the question, do you want to be well? So I think it's very important that we understand that we need to know what do you want? What do I want? What do we want? What do we want? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Jesus is coming out of Jericho and going for a walk. And he's walking down the road, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude. So there was this great multitude. Jesus is walking with his disciples. It says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now this is a man who didn't even have a name. Now he might have had a name, but nobody ever called him by his name. Everybody just called him blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus is not his name. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. They just called him the blind son of Timaeus. The blind son of Timaeus. So I'm sure he had a name, just no one ever used it. Everyone just called him the blind son of Timaeus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And people began to warn him and told him to be quiet, but he cried out the more. He got louder. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. When they called the blind man, they said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you want? Now the blind son of Timaeus had already, he knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted, and he knew who had what he wanted. And when Jesus was getting that close to him, he said, I am not going to let what I want to pass me by. Amen? So he knew what he wanted, because when he stood up, when they called him and said, he's calling you, he stood up, he took off his jacket. And in that day, that was a license to beg. He had a legal right to be begging. He had a legal right to be making money. He had a legal right. Thank you. He had a legal right to be begging. But he knew what he wanted, because he took it off, and he knew what he was going to go get. We do not get what we want, or we do not get what we... What we get is not what others want for us, but what we want and go after. He knew what he wanted, and he was going after it. Jesus said, what do you want? In response to his, Jesus, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy, chesed, a covenant response. A covenant response. Son of David, have chesed on me. A covenant response. So what do you want? He said that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He got exactly what he wanted. And Jesus said it was a result of his faith, of what he believed and said, or said and believed. Amen? What do you want? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's go back a few chapters. Verse 27. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. There was a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and she was not done, went to many physicians, and she wasn't any better, but she got worse. She was just getting worse. And she was getting broker and broker and broker because she spent all that she had and was still getting worse. Verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the press or in the crowd and touched his garment. Interesting. Let's continue. For she said, if I only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be made whole. I shall be healed. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around and said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, what do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's touching you. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole thing. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you has healed you. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You notice Jesus, he's literally on assignment going to Jairus' house. So he's not having a healing meeting. He's actually not teaching. He's not praying for the sick. He is going to Jairus' house, and she literally takes what she wants. She knew what she wanted. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. This is what she wanted. When she heard of Jesus, she knew, he's got what I want. And she came to Jesus, and she yanked the power of God right out of him, and it made him stop in his tracks because he wanted to hear a testimony. He's not praying for anyone. It's not a prayer line. It's not a prayer service. It's not a healing service. She yanked the power right out of him. Why? Because she came to get what she wanted. When she heard of Jesus, she knew what was available, and that's what she wanted. She came and took what she wanted. Philippians chapter 4. And Jesus said this, your faith has made you whole. So in other words, if her faith can make her whole and get her what she wants, your faith, my faith, we can get what we want by faith. Amen? Our faith can make us whole. Our faith can get what we want. Our faith in him. Hallelujah. That's why we need to renew our mind with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to renew our mind with the Word of God so we can have faith. But faith is not just a belief. Faith is action. She kept saying and saying and saying, and then she took action. And she went and got. She took what was hers. She took what she wanted. Amen? So we must believe and act. Get what we want. That's what transformation is. She got what she wants. She was transformed. She was changed. We can experience transformation, change in our lives. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace, the God of shalom, will be with you." We have been given the responsibility to think on these things. What do you want? We need to think. We've been given the responsibility. Matter of fact, right here, it's like a command. Listen, think on these things. We're going to think on stuff. He said, listen, just think on these things. Choose what we think. Well, we talked about last week, right? Aim your thinking. Aim your thinking. Choose. Because what we think produces pictures in us. Think on these things. Think on these things. The woman with the issue of blood, she decided to, when she heard of Jesus, she began to choose and aim her thinking. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I'll be healed. She said it over and over and over and over and over and over again until all of a sudden it got so big on the inside of her that she could not just stay home and say it some more. She needed to take action. The renewing of our mind with the Word of God will cause the same thing to happen to us. We'll get to the point where all of a sudden we need to take action. It'll be harvest time. When it's harvest time, it's reaping time. That means we're going to have to take action. And so he said, listen, aim your thinking. Think on these things. Because these things will get you the results that you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you've learned and received and heard and saw in me. Listen, do these things. And the God of peace, the God of shalom, he'll be with you to get what you want. He's our source. Annie Grace, she was a woman who, she helps people with addictions, and I was watching her during one event speaking and sharing, and I think she had addictions. She might have been married to an addiction too. I'm not sure, She went through this process of getting free, and when she began to just the way she talked, I picked up on some words because I've been teaching this for I guess 7 weeks already, I think it was probably a month ago or 6 weeks ago, so I was just kind of getting into this, and it's like I like some of the words she used, so I want to just share a little bit of what she says, and she's written a book and. She said, what does Annie Grace do? Annie Grace helps people overcome habits and addictions they don't want anymore. And I'd say most people get to that point that they don't want their addiction anymore. They don't want that negative cycle anymore. There's some that don't. I mean, there's some that don't care, and they've given up, and they don't care. But I would say probably a lot. They get to that point where it's, you know, I don't want this. I mean, it's not good for me. It's not helping me. But they don't understand how. And so it can be very frustrating living this up and down. She said this is what? She helps them or she brings them into a life that they want. So it's not enough just to know that I don't want to do this anymore. The next thing is people need to know what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And so she helps them bring them into a life that they want instead of resisting and being afraid of the habit and the behavior. I think too many times they say, I don't want this anymore because they see the damage that it's doing. And so they just keep resisting this habit or behavior and they're afraid of the habit and behavior, but it doesn't get them out of it because their focus is on just resisting and being afraid. And so all they're thinking about is this habit. I know a friend of mine, I worked with him in Calgary, and then he went on to work in the U.S. as a minister. He was a youth pastor for a large church in Tulsa. His youth group was over 2,000. We would like to have a church of 2,000, you know, most pastors, but his youth group was 2,000. And then when he they had launched a church in Dallas, and it was one of the fastest growing churches in the U.S., but he had an issue. He had a sexual addiction for 25 years. And when it was exposed, his whole life fell apart. And he had to talk to his wife, tell his wife and tell his kids and tell his parents. And it was very sad and very destructive, and everything fell apart. He lost everything. He ended up going to the same rehab place that, you know, like Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and these people go to. It costs lots of money. The guy that runs it is a Christian. And he told my friend, he said, I don't think you can be fixed, which was a challenge, because then he decided he was going to be fixed. And so he got fixed. But once he got out of the program, so whether the program, I don't know how long the program is, it's 2 months or whatever it is, 2 months, 3 months. I mean, when he was out of the program, then you go to your weekly meetings. And so he got involved in a number of weekly meetings, you know. So someone's meeting's going on Tuesday, good, went to that one. Someone's meeting was going on Wednesday, was going to that one. Someone's meeting going on Thursday, he would just go to these meetings, you know, your AA or your Al-Anon or whatever they're called. And he would go to these meetings. And they have this typical statement. Hello, my name is such and such, and I'm a such and such, and I'm just one step away from. And he said, I refuse to say that, because he's believing God for resurrection. He said, the nasty thing about resurrection is, and no one ever tells you about that, but the resurrection, the nasty thing about resurrection is there, it requires death. There's no resurrection without a death, right? Lazarus had a resurrection. Why? Because he died. there's no resurrection without death. And he said, so that's the nasty secret about resurrection. We want resurrection, but we don't want to die. And so he died. And so he's believing God for resurrection. Literally, his whole life. I mean, everything, he died. His reputation, everything, died. And died. And he's believing God for resurrection. He said, I can't say that. I can't say hi. I'm so-and-so, and I'm a such-and-such, and I'm just one step. No, that keeps him stuck there forever, living in this resisting and afraid of the behavior and the habit. He said, I can't say that. I'm believing God for resurrection. I need to say what God says about me. And that means we've got to renew our minds with the Word of God. And so if we want to get out, we need to know what we want. And so then we need to find out what God says, and begin to speak and declare and talk this. And so he said he refused to say those things. And he experienced resurrection. And so now he's, you know, able to teach people. The Lord gave him seven steps, the seven keys. I don't remember what he calls them, but there's seven keys of resurrection. Hallelujah. And so Annie Grace says this, I help people, I bring them into a life that they want instead of resisting and being afraid of the habit or the behavior. She teaches a compassion and grace-led way that moves people toward the thing they want. You hearing these words? The thing that they want. We must know what we want first in order to move towards what we want. If we don't know what we want, we can't even move forward. If we don't know what we want, this is what it's going to look like. We don't get anywhere. Go in circles. No. But if we know what we want, know where we want, then we can move forward. We can move towards it. Moving towards what we want, we must know. So she said she helps people move towards what they want. Rather than staying in a life where they are not doing the behavior, We think success is not doing the behavior. The world thinks success is just stop it. Just don't do the behavior. She says, rather than just staying in a life where they're not doing the behavior, but really still want it and feel very sad, miserable, and deprived because they can't have it. They still want it. But they just have to discipline themselves to say no. Just say no. See, the saying no is something we should do at the beginning, right? Take captive the thought. When it's small, just say no. But when it's already an addiction, it's a stronghold. Just saying no is not enough. You say no when you take captive the thought. It's much easier to say no, and then it never becomes a stronghold. But when it becomes an addiction, it needs more than just saying no. We need to find out what we want. We need to say yes to what we want. Yes, this is what I want. I don't want this. Now here's something she said, which was like, wow, this is really good. She said this: it's not enough to keep thinking the negative by attacking it with the positive. Let me say that again. It's not enough to keep thinking the negative by attacking it with the positive. You know, we think, well, we're just going to, you know, I'm just going to keep thinking the negative, but I'm going to keep attacking it. Just attack it with the word. Just attack it with the word. It's not enough to keep thinking the negative by attacking it with the positive. I just keep thinking the negative and then go, oh, no, no, this is what the Bible says. Just keep thinking the negative, thinking the negative. Oh, no, that's not who I am. No. What does she say? Rather, choose to stop thinking the negative. Right? Don't just keep thinking the negative and then attack it with the positive. She just says, stop thinking the negative. And choose to focus and think about the positive. So as I began to think about that, it's like, okay, so that's a very good point, and I think it's a very subtle point that I think gets missed. The issue is, we just need to replace it with what we want. So we're not choosing to think the negative, but when the negative comes up, we attack it with the positive, but we're not constantly thinking the negative and then trying to just, you know, keep setting the fire and then just kind of throw some water on it. She said, just stop thinking about it. But what happens when you think about it? Then just replace it with what you want. Replace it with the positive. Don't get so focused. Don't even get focused on the negative. The negative pops up, positive. But just replace it with what you want. She said this: Dr. Caroline Leaf says, to attack the negative with the positive is still being mindful of the negative and lacking belief, and can be toxic to ourselves. And that's why I keep saying, Galatians, the Spirit of God says this: walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the focus is just walking in the Spirit. The focus is, what do you want? So rather than always thinking about, don't do the flesh, don't do the flesh, don't do the flesh, don't do the flesh, oh, I need to do the, don't do the flesh, oh, I gotta think positive, don't do the flesh. So just quit thinking about not doing the things of the flesh. Quit thinking about the flesh and just think about walking in the Spirit. Focus on what you want and not always attacking about what you don't want. What we feed grows. Feed what we want. Feed on what you want. Feed on that. And it grows, and the other gets starved. Why? Because I'm not choosing to think the negative. I'm not choosing to think the fear. I'm not choosing to think. But what happens when the fear comes up? Just think the positive. What happens when I'm tempted to do something fleshly? Just get into the flesh. Mad, angry, scream, unforgiveness. Just think love, joy, peace, rest, relax. Right? Can you see that? It's not saying ignore it, but don't keep thinking the negative and then just trying to swat it with some positive. Just forget about the negative and just focus on the positive. And when the negative comes in, just focus on the positive. Exalt the positive. Bring up the positive. Declare the positive. Walk in the positive. Walk in the Word, renewing our mind with the Word of God. And that brings freedom. That's called renewing our mind with the Word of God. And that's what brings transformation. It's not this fighting the negative. The negative will die and disappear over the process of time. My buddy experienced transformation. He says, now I can drive into town where all these strip joints were on the side of the highway when you drive into Dallas. And he goes, it doesn't even capture my attention anymore. I can drive in and there's not a pull anymore. I can just drive in. No pull. Why? Because the focus is not on don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. The focus is in do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's so focused on doing this that all of a sudden that lost its power, it lost its appetite. This is accomplished through meditation. Meditate means to mutter, to think about, to chew on mentally. Our imagination is involved during meditating the Word of God. Our imagination. God gave us an imagination for a purpose and a reason. Hallelujah. This is how we renew our minds with the Word and experience transformation. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Hallelujah. We're talking about what do you want. It's very important that we know what we want. Because then we can move in that direction. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? So that you might observe to do according to all that is written in it or therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So meditating is this muttering. We're talking to ourselves. It's this thinking about. It's just chewing on mentally. So we find out what God says. We renew our mind with the Word of God, and we just chew on it. We think about it, and we mutter it. We talk about it to ourselves. Talk about it. Think about it. Just let it roll around. We chew on it for a while. Meditating. Meditate so you can see yourself doing the Word. This is what we want. See ourselves doing the Word. See the Word working in our lives. See it operating. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will make your way, or you will have good success. Can you see that? This is where we focus our attention. We think on the Word. We think on the answer. We desire it. We think on what we want. And we move in that direction. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. Talking about Abraham says, and being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So, the word consider means this, to perceive. The word consider means to perceive, to observe, to understand, and to fix one's eyes or mind on. So we could say focus. Focus. So he said, consider not. Abraham did what? He considered not. In other words, he chose to not focus on his age and the deadness of Sarah's womb. God said something, and he chose just to focus on that. He focused on that. He considered what God said. He fixed his mind on what God said. You know, and then the yeah buts came up. Yeah, but. He goes, I understand the yeah, but. But I'm going to focus on what God said. Amen? So this is not just trying to slap, thinking about the negative, think about the negative and then just kind of slap it with a positive. No, this is just thinking about the positive. This is just thinking about what God said. And the yeah, but comes up and you just still think. You know, yeah, but. Yeah, but God said. Yeah, but you're old. Yeah, but God said. Yeah, but God said. We're just thinking about what God said, focusing on what God said. So there are things that we need to stop focusing on and giving our attention to, and then there are other things that we need to increase our focus and attention on. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus said this, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? Consider. Right? The same word, consider. So, what are we saying? It's very important that we consider, we perceive and understand. The telephone pole that's in our own eye. Quit looking at the toothpick in someone else's eye and not perceiving and understand the telephone pole in our own eye. He says, how can you say to your brother and not consider the plank in your own eye? So change first happens when we perceive and understand where we're at. And then we choose and decide what we want. What do I want? What do I want? Okay? So then we have Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Same word is used again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. There says, therefore, holy brethren, family, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Do what? Consider. Perceive, observe, understand, and fix your eye and your mind on the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. Consider him. Consider him. Our answer. He's our answer. Consider him. And then chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. Says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What do we do? Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. We're to look at him. We're to focus on him. Our attention is to be on him, on his word, what he says. So, this, there are some things that we're to consider, and there's some things that we're to consider not. And so we should be considering, observing, focusing our attention on what we want. As we renew our mind with the Word of God, it's like, that's what I want. The will of God and the plan of God, that's what I want. Focus on that. The renewing of our mind, why? So we can experience transformation. Transformation would be getting what we want. Amen? And Jesus told the woman, you got what you want, your faith got you what you wanted. Amen? And then there are things that we're to consider not. Quit focusing on. Quit thinking about the negative. Quit thinking about the past. Quit thinking about the the thing that's holding us back, those limiting beliefs. Quit focusing and setting your attention on those limiting beliefs and thoughts. Just consider what God said. Consider what God said. Just consider what God said. Think what God said. Set your attention, your affection on the things that God said. Looking unto Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Now this is the written word. He is the living word. Amen? So when we focus our eyes on Jesus, we are also focusing our eyes or setting our eyes or our attention or our affection on His word. The renewing of our minds. We must change the way we think so we can prove and demonstrate His perfect will in our lives. Amen? So that's what I wanted to get across to us today. Help us with, what do you want? It's important that we understand, first of all, what we want so we can move in that direction. Amen? It doesn't happen automatically. We need to know what we want and then move in that direction. We don't get what others want for us. We get what we want and go after it. And this is how we do, by choosing to consider, focus on what we want. Hallelujah. Glory to God.